May the grace of God, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 22. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Thus far, our text. In the name of Jesus, who is looking for fruits of faith in our lives, dear fellow redeemed, some lessons are so obvious that they need no explanation. Have you ever seen the image of a piece of straw that was driven through a telephone pole by a tornado? If so, no one has to tell you that tornadoes are incredibly dangerous. If you want to teach young people about the risks of drinking and driving, you could force them to sit through hours of lectures with the latest statistics on alcohol-related fatalities, or you could do what the people at MADD do and park a twisted wreckage of a car on the front lawn of the school. If you're looking for a way to communicate the harmful results of drug abuse, you can hire a specialist to describe how brain and nerve cells are damaged, or you can show an egg frying in a pan of hot butter. Our text today has a visual aid like that. It shows us the withered fragments of what had been a healthy fig tree. To get the impact of the lesson, just imagine one of the healthy trees in your backyard suddenly drop all of its leaves and die. What is the lesson of the fig tree? What importance does it have for your life? On the road to Easter, Jesus teaches an important lesson on faith. A dead faith bears leaves but no fruit. A living faith can move mountains. Our text takes place the morning after Jesus' triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, when he arrived to crowd shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And later that day, he went into the temple in order to cleanse it for a second time. See, there were money changers in the temple. They were Jews who would offer sacrifices, a pigeon, a dove, things that people from a long distance could come there and buy so they didn't have to carry their sacrifice from their hometown. It provided a useful service for the people, but they also abused it. And they cheated the rest of the people out of their money, and they did it in the midst of the temple when it should have been done in the courtyards. Jesus said to them, "My house is to be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." That night, Jesus returned to Bethany. But the very next morning, we find him back on his way to Jerusalem when he becomes hungry. And along the road up ahead, he sees a fig tree with leaves on it, which gives the assumption that there should also be fruit. But when he finds none, he says, "May no fruit ever come from you again." So why did Jesus curse the fig tree? This is the only miracle recorded for us where he isn't healing or helping someone else. If it was you and me in his shoes, the answer would be obvious. We would be angry that we didn't get what we wanted from that tree. But this is Jesus. And Jesus committed no sin. To understand the bigger picture, it helps to remember a parable Jesus told in Luke 13. In that parable, a farmer had planted a fig tree. But for 3 years, it produced no fruit. The farmer told his vine dresser to cut it down and get rid of it. But the vine dresser begged him to let it be for one more year while he fertilizes it and nurtures it. Then, if it still doesn't produce, it can be cut down. Now think back to our text. Jesus wasn't angry with the fig tree itself, but what it symbolized. The lack of fruit, the fruits of faith, that was among his people. Jesus wanted his disciples to see what he saw, to see what James would later write by inspiration, faith without works is dead. It wasn't like Jesus' people had no warning. Before Jesus came, God sent to them John the Baptist proclaiming the message, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Then early in his ministry, Jesus drove out the money changers from the temple the first time, warning the people to turn from their faux religious status and turn back to God. But after all that preaching, all that warning, the people of Jerusalem were a barren fig tree. And Jesus faced this kind of religion throughout his ministry. Sure, his people had leaves, making it appear like they were bearing fruit, but Jesus revealed their true, shriveled, and dead nature. The people had rejected God. They rejected Jesus. They rejected their faith. When he preached repentance and proclaimed the kingdom of God, the Jewish leaders complained. They complained that the disciples were picking grain on the Sabbath because their Sabbath rules were more important than hearing the word. They complained that he healed a cripple on the Sabbath day because it was too much like work and any good Jew shouldn't work on the Sabbath. They complained when Jesus went to dine with the sinners and the tax collectors. They complained when the children sang praises to the Messiah. What Jesus saw in his people was a hollow and empty religion, all leaves and no fruit. So the lesson of the withered fig tree, whoever has a show of faith but lacks the fruit stands in danger of the judgment. And what happens when Jesus pulls back the leaves of our religion? Will he find fruits in keeping with repentance? Or are we too a shriveled fig tree? What about that person who offended you and needs your forgiveness? Doesn't take much faith to avoid him or her. Or what about the coworker who keeps asking difficult questions about Christianity? Doesn't take much faith to pretend to not know the answers. Or what about the sin that you've learned to live with rather than dealing with? It takes no faith at all to stop struggling and simply give in. And what about those prayers that never get said in the morning, or the Bible that is no longer being read? The call to repentance is obvious. We are sinful human beings by nature and battle against our flesh every day. It is easy for us to come to church to listen and worship and then to go home and forget that you ever heard anything at all. Peel back the leaves on your faith. What do you find? You find the same need that I find, to be forgiven and blessed with a living faith that can move mountains. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Is what Jesus says really possible? To have a faith that can move a mountain? Yes, it is. A trust in the power of God's word is what makes the impossible possible. Peter had that faith and he accomplished the impossible by walking on the water to Jesus. The other disciples had that faith and did many miraculous acts, even raising some people from the dead. But this is a very timely topic for Jesus to bring up. See, in the next 5 days, Jesus would do something that would demand the disciples to have this faith in order to understand. Jesus would go to the cross as a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He would descend into the pit of hell to suffer agony in our place. He would pass through death and rise again on the third day to win us a victory. Now, he did this for all people, but only those with faith grab onto it. Only those with faith in Jesus can move the mountain of sin and guilt and cast the power of Satan and death into the depths of the sea. Have you piled up a mountain of sin upon yourself? Have you tried to forget, to make up for them by your own merit? It is impossible. So have faith that Jesus paid for those sins upon the cross and God remembers them no more. Then step back and watch the mountain of your sin drown in the sea. Maybe your life has become a mountain of grief and sorrow on top of one another. Day by day, you watch it grow and the helpless feeling that you'll never get out from under its weight. Your life hasn't gone exactly to plan. You won't get to retire at your target date. Have faith that God provides for your daily needs, and He will continue to provide for you even in setbacks. Then step back and watch the mountain move. The doctor has told you that you will have to learn to live with the pain. Use your faith. Trust that God will do what is right every time. Then step back and watch the mountain move. Try it for yourself. Take a moment right now to reflect. You know what is lying heaviest on your heart, on your conscience. You don't need to tell me. Simply have faith that your Heavenly Father already knows. Now take a step back and see how He moves your mountain into the sea. See, in the words of Paul in Romans 8, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The kind of faith that moves mountains is really just simple, plain, saving faith. It is a kind of faith that knows that Jesus died and rose again in order to move the mountainous problems in this life and to cast them into the sea forever. That's the kind of faith he wants us to have. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.